In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The feast day of Pascha, of Easter, is the Feast of Feasts. But St. Gregory Palamas says that even more excellent than Pascha is the Ascension, because with Pascha, our changed human nature arises from death and returns to life. But with the Ascension of Christ, our changed human nature ascends from this world to return to God the Father. We can only live as God created us to live as human beings if we lived from the holiness of the Father. With his ascension, Christ has given us a share in his ascension, because he has ascended with our changed human nature. We are baptized into and share that changed human nature. Our salvation, the active living of our salvation, is our ascent from this world. That is the living of our salvation. At one with God the Father through Christ in the Holy Spirit. Living from him, not from the world. St. Luke says of St. Paul that he passed by Ephesus on his way to Jerusalem, hoping to be there for the feast day of Pentecost. He passed by the great city of Ephesus, where St. Paul had labored so greatly during his third journey, and had founded churches throughout Western Asia around the city of Ephesus. And as he passes by, he calls the bishops of that area, not just the city of Ephesus, but from all around the area of Western Asia to him, the bishops and the priests. And he tells them, be watchful over yourselves and over your flock. Be watchful. Be watchful so that you don't leave the oneness with God the Father that Jesus Christ has spent his life and his blood in order to win for us. The church belongs to him. It is his church. He has won it. And it is for us to watch over it so that it doesn't depart from that oneness. There is a new kind of authority in the world, not an authority over us. God would not do that with the human beings that he created. Human beings rule over one another by threat, by fear, by the effort to intimidate for their own purposes. But amongst us, it is not like that. The watchfulness of the bishops that St. Paul called was to be a watchfulness over themselves so that they don't depend on just themselves, on even their authority as bishops of the church or as priests, but depend on the authority of the oneness that we all share. That is the source of the authority. When we Orthodox speak of the authority of bishops, including their teaching authority, we say for shorthand that their authority comes from the altar. And we mean that it comes from the sacrifice of Christ so that he might establish a oneness between ourselves and the Father. And that oneness rules amongst us. The bishops are the witnesses to that oneness at the Divine Liturgy and in all of the ways that they try to deal with the members of their flock. And St. Paul warns the leaders of the church of Ephesus and Western Asia Minor, there will be those who rise from among the bishops in the future, wolves among you who try to lead the flock astray. You have to be watchful. You have to maintain that oneness. It's the only defense that we have. St. Paul's prophecy will be fulfilled. Ephesus will be the place in several centuries of the Third Ecumenical Council. By that time, the church has become legalized in the empire, and the great cities, the centers of Christian life in the world, include Rome and Antioch and Alexandria. But a new city has arisen, Constantinople, and it's been declared by the ecumenical councils to be the equal of Rome. And that means in the East there is competition by worldly-minded bishops for the authority that comes along with being the bishop of Constantinople. There is competition between the bishops of Antioch and the bishops of Alexandria. And a bishop has become bishop of Constantinople who is from Syria. Antioch is in Syria. And so his understanding of things has been molded by the way of thinking of the people, of the Christians of that part of the world. They're theologians. And he tries to use his authority, which he has used in the past already, in good ways to oppose Arius, the Arian heresy. The heresy that says that Jesus Christ was a man, not divine. But Nestorius has some ideas of his own that he pushes. He says that Jesus Christ is a man, that the Word, the Son of God, that divine person is dwelling in Jesus Christ. So there are two persons. There is the human person, Jesus Christ, and there is the divine person, the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Logos, the Son of God. And he says that we should call Mary Christotokos, because she has given birth to Christ, but could not give birth, after all, to the eternal Logos, the Son of God. And the problem is that if you separate Christ's divinity and his humanity from one another, and you say that there are two persons, a divine person dwelling in him, then there is no change to our human nature. Our human nature is not transformed. There is no possibility of our participation in divine life through the new and changed humanity of Christ, who is fully God and fully man together. And Arius had won a great number of followers. And what was lost was the oneness that St. Paul spoke of to the bishops of Ephesus. The same oneness that we heard Christ speak of in his prayer to the Father. Father, that they may be one as we are one. That was what stood to be lost. It took four centuries until the danger that St. Paul warned the bishops and priests of Ephesus about would finally be resolved at the Fourth Ecumenical Council, where it was clearly said, there are two natures and one person that is Jesus the Christ. Jesus Christ, one person, the incarnate Son of God, fully God, fully man, a divine nature and a human nature in one person. And that one person defeats death on the cross, arises from the dead, and ascends to sit at the right hand of the Father, taking with him our changed humanity, because he is the new Adam. And the oneness and the authority of the church that St. Paul warned the bishops and priests of Ephesus to keep watch over. To keep watch over, not just as authorities, bishops over the church, but keep watch within yourself, because within yourself you must maintain this watchfulness. You can't use your authority to coerce other people, to get them to follow along. There has to be the oneness inside of you to begin with. with God the Father through Christ in the Holy Spirit. You have got to have that. And all of us as Christians, if we are going to be one, we have to have that. We have to keep watchfulness over ourselves so that we don't fall into the temptation to tell others what they should do. We tell ourselves what we should do. We are responsible for our own conscience that keeps us at one with God the Father through Christ in the Holy Spirit. And we are responsible to all the others not to do anything to interfere with the spiritual effort that they are making in order to remain one with us. And so we are all making the same effort together. And that is the kind of authority that exists within the Holy Church, where all of us are responsible for our own oneness with the Father through Christ in the Holy Spirit. All of us are responsible to recognize, to see clearly our own sins and confess them. We cannot confess the sins of another person. And that's how we maintain watchfulness. That's how we ascend, by our oneness with this changed human nature, that Jesus Christ ascends to sit on the right hand of the Father, and he takes along with him, so that we can sit there in oneness with him, at one with that changed human nature. And during the course of our lives are infused with meaning, because each incident in our life is an opportunity for our continuing ascent to the Father through Christ in the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.